Yeah, it's scary when that happens.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Wednesday night. Nice to see your faces. I just have the one announcement. Yeah, probably just the one. Yeah, there's two. Next week, we finish the book of Joshua. And then, of course, the following week, as we've been doing the last several books of the Bible, we're going to have kind of a discussion, kind of wrap up, you know, the study of the book of Joshua. And we're going to do it a little bit different, you know, since a bunch of us have been teaching it, it's going to be hopefully more of a discussion from that standpoint. So at any rate, next Wednesday, we conclude the book of Joshua. The following Wednesday, actually, that's important for everybody at home. There won't be a live stream for that, nor actually will it be recorded. So that's the next two Wednesdays, and then we start the book of Joshua. And the only other thing is, of course, the Women's New Year's Fellowship is this Friday evening. Just another reminder, 6 p.m. And I'll say, if the sign-up sheet is still up there, you guys are welcome to add your name to it as a last-minute thing. And if we need to contact the catering company to get another plate or two or whatever, we'll be happy to do that. So that's it for announcements. Pastor Bob's going to be up here in just a second, but let's take a minute and greet each other. Ready, go.
Hi.
Wasn't I supposed to sing a song?
Test, test, test.
What? Wasn't that supposed to sing a song?
Oh, you can. There's a piano.
Oh, okay.
Close us out.
Thank you.
All right, so we'll be getting started here soon. Jeremy said we will be in chapter 23 tonight in Joshua, and next week Joshua will finish up in chapter 24. So let's pray again before we get started. Lord, we're just so grateful just to be able to come before you and fellowship and to spend time in your word. Lord, as Joshua speaks to the leaders and the elders to the tribes, Lord, just the wisdom and encouragement he gives them, Lord, that we can also hear the words that he speaks to them and take it to heart and bring value to it in our own walk with you, Lord, and for our church. We just thank you for this man, Joshua, who served you in the way that he did. Lord, we just ask that you prepare our hearts, be open to what you have for us tonight, and we just thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen. So, let's start off verse 1. Now, it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua was old, advanced in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in age. So, again, Joshua has called the elders of the church, the leaders, and he's going to speak to them. And a long time has passed, it says here, since the Lord had given them rest. And we know back in end of chapter 21, it stated in verse 44, the Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hands. A time of rest that the nation was in right now. And in chapter 22 last week, we see where Joshua spoke to the tribes of the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half of Manasseh. You know, they were They were the tribe that would be on the other side of the Jordan. They chose not to come into the promised land that they would occupy on the eastern side. And, Joshua, he thanks them for their service, to being engaged in a military campaign for the other tribes. He blesses them and sends them on their way. But in verse 5 and 22, but he says to them, but take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. And that's where in this chapter Joshua had finished up. And then we had this incident where the altar was constructed, caused this big uproar amongst the tribes. And Jeremy covered that and what all that entailed. And so that was covered. If you missed that, it's on the website. Go catch it. Good study. Good lesson for all of us in that. Okay? So back to chapter 23. It says that a long time had passed since they're given rest. One of the commentaries I listened to said it was something like 17 and a half years. And at this time, they were been in the land for 25 years. So yeah, it's been a long rest for this nation. And so Joshua would call the leaders, and he has something to say after this long period of time. And and it says here that Joshua is old, advanced in age, real old. We can see in chapter 24, in the next chapter, that it describes when he died at the age of 110 years old. He's old. Okay. Back in chapter 13, he knew he was old because the Lord told him in chapter 1, he says, Joshua, you're old, you're advanced in years. So even back there, you know, he's old. And so, and he's also aware, as we'll get to this in chapter 14, he talks about the time that he has left is nearing to an end. So there's some urgency on his part that he wants to speak to these men, these leaders of the tribes. Okay? And it's a consideration about, you know, what would Joshua say to these guys? You know, he was there from day one. He was in Egypt when they were brought out. He had seen all that the Lord had done, seen all the plagues, the time they went through the desert, the end of the wilderness, you know, the forming of the nations, the building of the tabernacle, the miracles that God had performed, the manna coming from heaven, water from the rocks. And he was there when they constructed the golden calf, saw the judgment, the anger of the Lord poured out on those. And then he was there when they crossed into the promised land. So he's been there. And he was a mentor of Moses. So we think about, you know, what would this man be willing to say? Because from a self perspective, you know, he could say, well, I've been there, I've done there. I've done it, been there, and I know all these things, and I can share from you my knowledges and experience. And he could do that, but that's exactly, and what we're going to find out, he doesn't do that. And the other thing that we need to be aware of, there's really no one that the Lord has chosen to replace him. You know, he's it. You know, now the authority has been delegated out to the tribes, to these men he's speaking to. So he's the last. It was Moses, and now him, Joshua, and now the responsibility that the Lord had given and the assignments about occupying the land, what they're supposed to do. Now the responsibility is going to go to these guys. So this is what he's going to say. So what I'd like to do for us is let's turn back to chapter 1 in Joshua. And this is where the commission of Joshua begins. It starts out, it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot would tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance, as an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the Lord, the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Continue on. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So the Lord, he's speaking to Joshua directly. He's commissioning him, giving instruction. He's giving him words of encouragement, comfort. And we also read that the Lord's given him authority to lead the people, instructions on what he wants done, commit to both knowing and following the laws of Moses, and words of encouragement to be strong and of good courage, for I am with you always. I will not leave you or forsake you. Okay, so now as a leader of the people, and you think about this for Joshua's mindset, you know, here's a guy, okay, yeah, I've been anointed, I've been appointed, we've had all the ceremonies. The people know that I am the one that's been chosen to lead them. However, now Moses is dead. So the reality is sets in, yeah, I'm going to have to lead these people. And so the Lord has come to him to encourage him and to say, hey, leader of Israel, this is what you need to do. And how comforting is that? You know, you think about the shoes you have to fill of Moses. And that's a big pair of shoes to fit because he's been their leader for years. And so now he knows what the Lord would expect of him. It's like as leader, you know, it's okay, now what do I do? Well, now he knows the Lord gave him instruction. And see, also as the Lord had done with Moses, he's going to comfort him. He's going to encourage him that, yeah, you are leading the people, but I will be right beside you all the way. So it's an intention of the Lord to give encouragement, to commission him, and to prepare his heart for what he needs to do. So if we would, we turn back to chapter 23, and we'll pick it up in verse 3. And it says, you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations. Because of you, for the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. And see, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes. From the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. You shall possess their land as the Lord your God had promised. So Joshua in verse 3 wants to remind them what they had seen, what they had experienced. From the point, imagine just how the Jordan River was the seas were set apart, the land was dried up, the water was opened up, and they went across on dry land. You know, to the point where the walls of Jericho have come down. You know, to witness how the Lord has driven out and the people that in their sight, to so that they may be able to occupy the land that they were to inherit. And you know, right here, Josh is giving the glory and the praise to the Lord. Not me, it was the Lord. The Lord. You saw what the Lord had done. Remember this, okay? And as Joshua over the years witnessed what the Lord had done for the nation, so these men too have witnessed what the Lord had done for these nations. Remember this, okay? And in verse 4, it says, I have divided the nation, divided the land, the tribes. We went over this in previous chapters, what that was. And again, we see in chapter 1, it wasn't on Joshua's authority as to who would get what. He was instructed by the Lord. You are to divide this land amongst the people. And he set about to do that, following the Lord, what the Lord had asked them to do. And in verse 5, and the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight, so you shall possess their land. You know, there's still remnants in the country. And it's still, to these leaders of this tribe, that those inhabitants in your areas need to be taken out, driven out, so you can occupy all the land that the Lord has given you. And the Lord will do that for you. He will lead the way. He will fight the fight for you. So you encourage him, you know. Verse 6, therefore be very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. You know, there's a lot in this verse. It's probably a sermon all to itself right here. And it's interesting that Joshua would use the same words that the Lord would use with him, in being obedient to the law, to be very courageous. And it's an interesting set of words. If you man, what does it take to be obedient to the law? And what the Lord chooses to tell Joshua, you need to be very courageous. And what does that mean? Well, definition of courageous, the mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. So it's obviously not going to be an easy thing to do sometimes. And there's struggles involved. And to be courageous, you actually have to be engaged or involved in something. You know, it's hard to be courageous if you're just sitting there. You know, these guys have been at a time of rest for some 17 and a half years. Encouraging. You know, we need to get going here. We need to be courageous to the Lord. Be obedient. And sometimes in courageous, when somebody's courageous, it's in the spur of a moment. You know, something has happened. You need that. You don't think about the dangers. You know, you go in to rescue somebody. There's that courageous too. We also know another good example of being courageous. We know the story of Daniel and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they were told that they had to worship the idol of this king. And so we don't worship idols. We worship the Lord God Almighty only. That's it. If you don't worship this idol, you'll be sentenced to death. And that's what they accepted. We will die for this. We will not be disobedient to the Lord. We will not bring offense to him. We will not worship this idol. So be it. If we need to die, we need to die. The Lord is sovereign. If he's going to save it, he'll save it. If we die, that's fine. We're not worshiping the idol. So these young men showing tremendous amount of courage to be obedient to what the Lord says. Don't worship idols. Okay? So that's a good example. I remember one time I was previous church I served at, the lady that headed up the women's ministry, she approached me. They had set up a dinner very similar to what we're doing on Friday for the women. And they were going to do it at a restaurant that a couple had owned that was coming to our church. It was a pretty good-sized restaurant. And I said, yeah. So she approached me. She says, Bob, you know, we're having this dinner for the ladies. And they said, yeah. I said, well, there's something I'd like you to do. And I'm thinking, okay, I'll help set up tables. I'll do a clean water. She says, I'd like you to be our speaker. What? So whatever color I turned to, she said, hey, you know, just pray about it. You don't have to give me an answer. I'm thinking, what? Why? But, you know, here's the problem. And she went on to say, you know, I'm really excited about this, you know. And she's a serious woman when it comes to serving the Lord. So I'm thinking about extending this invitation out to other women from other churches. Okay. And, oh, something else. I talked to this worship band, you know, she, and I'm like, what? And we got them to come. They're going to do some worship song for you. It was a really popular band. They opened up that summer for Spirit West Coast in Monterey. And I'm like, oh, man. And I knew that this woman took everything that she's dealing with the Lord seriously. So the Lord said, that guy, I'm like, what do I do? So, you know, I did. I went. I spoke. I survived. I had a great time. The reality is it was a privilege, you know. Went into that restaurant. There wasn't an empty seat. There was ladies. I spoke. Had a nice dinner. Had a great time. I did okay. So it was great. Good time. Okay, continue on. Verse 7. And, continuing on, unless you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. But you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. You know, Joshua was well aware what angers the Lord. And if you want to anger the Lord, this doesn't. This is a jealous God. And he saw what happened when they constructed that golden calf. It did not go well for those people. You know? And so he's very serious about that. He's going to continue on with this about what this is about. And of all the things he just could tell these guys not to do. You know, he's very serious about that. He'll make that very well aware. This will anger the Lord. He will not be happy with you, and he will judge you. He will not let this go. And I, you know, storytelling, the last church I served at, pastor sent out notice after second service. I want all of you who serve in the church, I want you to meet me after second service in a, what we call a community meeting area. Brings us in, starts out, says, you know, I love you guys. I love you guys so much. And I appreciate all that you do and how you serve. But this business of referring to our church as a biker church, I'm done with that. I put up with that for 20 years. We are not a biker church, and I do not want anybody referencing this as being a biker church, joking or otherwise, for 20 years. I've had to deal with this. Please don't do this anymore. And I know in times past when somebody make a comment about us being a biker church, and if he was in earshot, he would look you right in the eye and said, we are not a biker church. We serve the Lord God Almighty. And after the meeting, he's got a beard down here. The ponytail down here went out, fired up his knucklehead, and he drove home. And you know, he's right. You know, as a pastor, he has been doing this for such a long time. You know, imagine, you know, well, I go to that church because, well, it's a biker church. Or the other side of it, I don't go to that church because it's a biker church. And I remember when me and Kathy were looking for a Calvary to attend, they were in our town, and I'm like, and I had heard they're a biker church. Heard some other things. Not really my people, you know. Well, we went. This long ponytail beard, great teacher, and we were there for 13 years. And so, you know, he's right. The churches, you know, you don't, you know, and he talks about, you know, you want to talk about motorcycles? He loves them. He likes me as a pastor. Well, I'll talk about motorcycles, but, you know, how about the Lord? What's the Lord doing in your life? You know, what about the message that you heard today? What, how did that inspire you? You know, that's the conversation he really likes to talk about. So again, you know, sometimes we've got to be careful. You know, because even in that case, you know, say, well, it's not that big a deal. Well, no, these things become idols. You know, if the focus on that church is, oh, we're about bikes and motorcycles and stuff, yeah, that's an issue that he had to address, and he did. Okay, so we'll continue on here. Verse 9, I'll read verse 9 through 13. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you as he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves and that you love the Lord your God. Or else, if indeed you go back and you cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them, and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you. But they shall be snares and traps for you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. You know, reminding them again, you know, we still have the remnants of the inhabitants in this land. It's your responsibility that they need to be driven out. And it's the Lord has strengthened you. He is your commander. He will drive them out, you know. And the reality, you know, the risk, the concern that Joshua has, it's not the military issues having or the battles. It's a spiritual one, you know. Hey, guys, you know, if you're worried about the battle that you're about to have to go drive these people out, the Lord's going to do that. But we need to do that. What Josh is concerned with conveys to them, if we don't, and you embrace these people, they will corrupt the nation. So it's a warning to them they need to take seriously. Verse 11. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. You know, that's our commandment, that we are to love your God. It's interesting what Jesus would say to the disciples. Hours away from the cross, as he finishes up the Passover meal, he is just inundating these guys with revelation. The information that's coming out was amazing. But he also said this a number of times. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. That's what he said. Here's my counsel, guys. If you love me, you're going to obey me. It's a good word. It's a good thing to remember. Okay. Verse 14. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls, not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. So Josh is making it clear to these guys, like all living things, it's time to be born and a time to die. And Joshua's time is coming. And we read in the next chapter, he did in fact die. But in wisdom, you know, I'm moving on. So, It's not about me. It's not. I'm not the one that have done all these miraculous things. It's the Lord. I'm going away. So now you focus. Your attention needs to go to the Lord. Moses has gone on. Now it's my turn. The Lord is still here. He is still here doing what he had promised to do. And he's faithful to do it. So when I leave, yeah. So now, direct your attention to the Lord. Go to him. Rely on him. Trust on him. Put your faith in him. Why? Because he's proven to be faithful. You have witnessed what he's done. Okay? Remember this in your heart and soul, what the Lord has done. Treasure it. Treasure it. Okay? Coming into verse 15, it says, therefore it shall come to pass, and that as all good things have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things, until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. Yeah. It's okay, Joshua. You know, he's making reference to what? The covenant with Moses. This covenant, there's a promise that God had made. Follow me and I will bless you. And he has. Turn away from me and I will judge you. My anger will be turned towards you. So it's a reminder again that this covenant, and it's an important thing to remember, you know, that the Lord, that's what he has with his people, his covenants. And we know in Joshua, when they came into the land, we have the Abraham covenant and the Mosaic covenant in harmony. Abraham come, I will make a great nation of you. This is the genesis of a great nation. Okay? The promise fulfilled to the Abraham covenant. And he just didn't pick anybody to bring out of Egypt. These were the descendants of Abraham. How do we know that? They carried the sign. They were circumcised. Okay? These were his people. They cried out to him. He heard their cries. He went and sent Moses to bring him out. He did what he had fulfilled in his covenants with both Abraham and Moses, and here they are right now, fulfilled. And continuing on his promises of God. So what we see that Joshua chose to do here, to share with these men, was not on his own knowledge and understanding, but the knowledge and understanding he received from the Lord. So we read chapter 1. We move over to chapter 23. And what Joshua gave them is what the Lord had given him. All the things I think I know, all the things I can imagine, all the things that I understand or may not know, I'm just going to tell you what the Lord told me. It works. And it served me well. And that's what I will share with you. I don't need to add to it. I don't need to take any away from it. Here it is. This is for real. This is the real deal. And you need to be, what? Very courageous. Okay? So let's turn, if you would, to Proverbs 3. This is a well-known verse in 5 and 6. Good counsel. I got the right one here. There we go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And this is exactly what he has done with this nation. Good counsel. Good to understand, good to know. Okay. And in application, and in a real way, what these men received is the message that we receive as a complete in Psalm 23 of the Good Shepherd. In practice, this is what they experience with the Psalm of David when he speaks of Psalm 23. Interesting. Chapter 23, Psalm 23. And this is before that psalm was ever written. Okay. I was going through here. What kind of struck me as what was interesting is where our church is at in the scriptures. On Sundays, you know, we're in Daniel. Wednesday night, we're in Joshua. The men, on Saturday's meeting once a month, we're in 1 Samuel. And we read those scriptures in verse 15 and 16. You know, to come to pass. The Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and you have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you and you shall perish quickly. For a moment, let's turn to Joshua chapter 5. So when they cross over the Jordan, it says in verse 1, so it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. That's where the heart of the enemy was, those that occupied the land when they went into the land. Their hearts were melted. We're in trouble here. These are the same people I heard about when they come through the Red Sea. They destroyed their God destroyed the Egyptian army. They were there once at the Jordan. They went away for a while. Oh, what a reprieve. Now they're back. And they had spies there. They saw what was going on. They saw the Jordan River dried up and it's dried. And the waters moved aside, dried up, and the nation moved through. They go back and report to the king. Oh, man. We're in trouble. Let's turn to where the guys were last month. Samuel, chapter 11.
Samuel
1. So I'll pick it up in verse 1, chapter 11, 1 Samuel. Then Nahash, Ammonite, came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead, and all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve you. And Nahash, the Ammonite, answered them, on this condition I will make a covenant with you, that I will put out all your right eyes and bring reproach on all Israel. Then the elders of the Jabesh said to him, hold off for 7 days, and we will send messengers to all the territory of Israel, and then if there is no one to save us, we will come out to you. So we see melted hearts of the kings to now the Ammonites have camped. It's a few miles of Jerusalem. They're not that far away. Hey, we want to work out. So what did they do? You know, this is the time that these people would call them. We want a king. Remember? We want a king. They didn't turn to the Lord. They turned to the enemy. Hey, let's make a deal. Okay? And Daniel, the people, Israel, sacked, demolished. Jerusalem burnt to the ground. The temple's destroyed. The people are taken into captivity back to Babylon. Right back where they started. Back in captivity. Yeah, it's for a season, but nonetheless, you know, what we see, and it's kind of a sad commentary, but you know, it's prophecy fulfilled. You know, there's a covenant the Lord makes. He made it. They violated it. They went up against it. They angered him. And he did exactly what he said he was going to do. You know, so, yeah, you had your choice. The Lord, idols, you know, what do you want to do? So it was a, you know, for us, we can see, you know, we observe and we see these different points in time where they started as a nation in Genesis to where it didn't take long. You know, things kind of went sideways. And then we had that time, you know, they'll peak when it comes to David, you know. And so it's, you know, but that, and that's just lasted for so long. They were at one time a very great and powerful nation. But again, they became corrupted. Okay? So what Joshua had to say to the leaders of that day, the question is, it applicable today? Absolutely. You know, from the standpoint of what we have today, you know, the Lord brought back Israel, you know, as a nation. Amazing prophecy fulfilled. But today we're in the church age. And what we see in a lot of cases where the church now is behaving in like manner as the Israelites are. You know, we have a covenant with the Lord. We have a covenant. He established on that night, on the path during the Passover meal. We have that covenant. We celebrate it with communion, you know. But the, like Israel, the church is supposed to be holy. We're supposed to be set apart. We're not supposed to embrace the inhabitants, so to speak. Not supposed to embrace their culture, their beliefs. You know, the law of the Lord is there. That's what we're supposed to follow. And now what we're seeing, and it's sad as well, that the church now is embracing and have been for some time what's going on, the beliefs and values of the culture, bringing it into the church, establishing it as doctrine. And it's a sad commentary for the church. But again, if we consider the church ages, you know, we look at the churches that were established in Revelation, we think of Philadelphia and Laodicea, those contrasts where, you know, Philadelphia, that church of little strength, who lifted the name of the Lord, did not denounce his name, held his name in honor, and obedient to the word set up for his word. And they are one together. The Lord and his word is one together. And they held fast to that. And they were commended for that. Laodicea, the lukewarm church. You know, hot nor cold, might made the Lord want to vomit, you know. So where the church is going, what we're seeing, as we approach the end times, you know, that the Lord said, well, this is going to happen. We know it's going to happen. Not to be discouraged, remain faithful, remain courageous, okay? You know, for Joshua, he had an amazing, back in chapter 5, it describes a Christophany that he experienced. And this would be a man standing, holding a sword. And Joshua approached him, are you a friend? Are you the enemy? Are you the friend? Are you the foe? And it was the Lord answering, no. I am the commander, the chief that leads the army of the Lord. Sword. So at that moment in time, reassurance that Joshua received. Yes, you are with me, Lord, and you will lead the battle. You will drive out the inhabitants. You know, for our benefit, for our value, we have the same type situation, when you think about it, a battle that we're never capable of winning. And it's the one that, you know, John the Baptist recognized it. And as Jesus would approach, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He won the battle and conquered what we could not do. He went to the cross for us, took upon himself our sins, so that we can be reconciled with the Lord. So he done that for us. And so, Joshua, he had his commander, and we have our Lamb. We all have our Lamb. It's an amazing description. We know why. And, you know, it's a reassurance that we have. And not only that, due to the resurrection, we have a promise that he conquered death. We have a promise of eternal life. You know? And so, the encouragement that we get from Joshua, you know, reminding us to give our assurance, our confidence, and he will give us the courage. The Holy Spirit who dwells in us will give the encouragement we need when we need it at the time we need it. Whatever comes up. You know, the churches are always dealing with issues. COVID. And when this thing come upon us, it was like, okay, church, what do we do? You know? And it was hard. It was not easy. You know? The things that we had to deal with. You had guidelines. You had opinions of people about what a church should and shouldn't do. And so for the leaders and elders of this church, and the church is in the Lamb, then we have to decide, what is it we're going to do? Because we're accountable. Yeah, there's the government saying all these, but we're accountable to the Lord. So in situations, we're in a tough spot. And there's people like, you need to do this. No, you need to do this. And quite honestly, it's pretty equally divided. So it really wasn't a no-win situation, so the elders had to make decisions, and that's what we're going to do, and they were hard. And for other churches, you know, we're in Arkansas, the churches in California had a whole different level of scenarios they had to go. So for others, it was a tough situation that we went through. So, you know, we know what's coming, you know, that, you know, we look forward to a time that our time on earth, either we go by the way of the earth, you know, it's our time to die, or we get raptured. But until then, you know, the Lord has given us a commission. You know, we're to be obedient to him. We're to be obedient to his commandments, to his laws. And then do what he asks to do. Spread the gospel. Share the word. Share the Lord. Share Jesus, what he had done for us. You know, that's what we're asked to do. And then sometimes we're challenged when you're to do that. And so we know by the word, it's going to get more and more difficult as time goes on. So think of, you know, and that's when we do what Joshua says, we turn to the Lord. Okay, we're going to finish up here. Thank you. And ladies, hope to see you Friday night and have a fun time there, and Sunday at church. All right. Thank you.